So baby food isn't that bad. But really all it is just ground up food that you now eat. So it's just taking out the step of chewing. Don't push the trash can over. Now, pick it up. Pick it up. Thank you for helping, Sophia. You know, guys, you could get up and help. Yeah. Good job, guys. All right. So while they're doing that, I just want you guys to think about something. Hey, for the next 15 minutes, it's my turn to talk. So when we get to the Bible, when we start talking about living for something beyond ourselves, following Jesus, accepting Jesus, the forgiveness of sins, that kind of stuff, like some of that Paul talks about as baby food, and some of it he talks about as like real food. Like, sometimes things are pretty easy. You don't have to chew on it. You don't really have to wrestle with it. You just put it in your mouth and swallow it because it's fact. All right? Other times, we come to passages in the Bible that is like, wow, that's really hard. I don't know that I know what that means or that really sits right with me. And you really have to wrestle over, do you believe God's word to be true and right and honest? We're not really going to jump into some like steak dinner today, but we are going to bite off a little bit. So we're going to finish the introduction to Colossians that Paul and Timothy are writing. I'm going to just challenge you guys to think about something that I'm sure you've heard of in some capacity that seems pretty simple, and that's to rely on God with everything that you are and everything that you have. So grades, money, dreams, what you want to be when you grow up, all of that stuff shouldn't be about you. It should be about God. And when it's about God, you'll find that it actually is the best thing that it could possibly ever be for you. Cool? So really quickly, to get started, what are some things that you guys depend on? I'm not looking for church answers at the moment, just like things that you depend on maybe on a daily basis, maybe once in a while, but what are some things you depend on? Your mom and dad? Water. Sleep. Food. Clothes. I'm dependent on those myself. Jesus. Money. Yeah, those are all things that, minus Jesus is certainly where we're headed today, but like everybody on the face of the earth depends on oxygen, food, water, clothing. Right? We all have these needs that we rely on other things. As kids, maybe you're not so reliant on your parents now, but like going back to baby food, a baby that's eating baby food is not capable of feeding itself baby food. Like its very life depends on its parents. At some point, you were all there. Right? So we all know what it means to be dependent. We might not remember it, but we know what it means to be dependent. So hold those things in your mind. I'm going to tell you a story about squirrels. So I love squirrels. In case you haven't picked up on that, I don't know why I like squirrels. Probably because when I watch a squirrel, it reminds me of how my brain works. Like I'll be super focused doing something and all of a sudden, you know, it's like a squirrel crossing the road. It just doesn't work. So I like in my office, for those of you who have gone into my office, there's a window by my desk, and I can look out, and there's pine trees out there, and it looks way out into the parking lot of the EC, and like it's great. But it's far enough from the parking lot that like the squirrels kind of play freely, and it's fun to watch them. There's this brown squirrel. I've nicknamed him Peter. He lives outside of my window in these pine trees somewhere, and once in a while, he gets very, very loud. See, this time of the year, Peter is very busy. He works like crazy, nonstop, all day long, going out, finding nuts and food, and bringing them back to his stash. I don't know where his stash is, but it's close to my office. Right? I mean, he works like he's got a hoarding problem. Like, he's bringing these things in, constantly going out, coming back, going out, coming back. And now that his stash is getting pretty superior to some others, and he's just this little guy, some other squirrels have taken notice. And they come and they try to take poor Peter's nuts. It's sad. It's sad. But here's the thing. I can't mimic a squirrel's noise, but man, those things get vicious. You're like, you're sitting there quiet, you're reading emails, writing back to parents, writing lessons, and you're like, and you look up, and there's these squirrels just flying around. And you're like, what the heck is going on? Like, they are intense. They are working and packing and gathering, and then they're protecting, right? And they're doing all of this like their lives depend on it, because they do. In like 3 months, when there's tons of snow on the ground, there's going to be no more going out and gathering food. There might be some food available, but the more snow there is, the harder that stuff is to find. And he will literally be reliant on the work that he's done this fall to survive the winter. Right? It's kind of a weird thing about squirrels. They have to do those things. Right? They rely on their stash to get them through the winter. Right? And there's a lot of things that we've already talked about that we rely on. We need, and in a dramatic moment, like when our phone dies, we think we might actually need our phone to live. Like when my phone dies, man, I feel weird. Kind of like I don't have clothes on or something. It's like, what am I going to do? I don't have my charger. I got to get home. Maybe my car will get hit by a train on my way home. My wife won't know. How am I going to talk to her? Like, it's just like kind of irrational. But point being, there are things that we rely on. And there's things that we are aware that we rely on, like our parents, like oxygen, food, that kind of stuff. But here's the thing. As important as those things are, none of them mean anything at all without Christ. Which I think is a place that we kind of come to a moment of like, I don't know. My parents are still pretty important without Jesus. And, you know, without air, I'd be dead. Well, guess what? Without Jesus, you wouldn't be here. And without Jesus, someday, because you're human, you will die. And without Jesus, you don't get heaven, right? So, like, Jesus is the most important thing. And so what I want you guys to wrestle with today is this idea that if you're not living fully dependent on Jesus, you're doing it wrong. Calvin. Okay. It's my turn to talk. So, here's the deal. If you're not living fully reliant on Jesus, you're doing it wrong. What is it? Life. Nobody really wants to be told they're doing life wrong. Hence where we're talking about something a little bigger than just baby food today, right? If we're not living fully reliant on Jesus, then we're doing it wrong. In other words, we must rely on Jesus like our lives depend on it. Like the squirrels rely on their stash, like they're working so hard this fall to stay alive that because their lives depend on that. Our lives depend on Jesus, and we need to live that way. I want to show you guys what I mean because I don't want it to be me. I want it to be the Bible. So open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 9. We're going to read 9 through 14. And it's going to sound a lot like the passage we read last weekend. So open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians. A letter written to the town of Colossae. There it is. Colossians chapter 1. We're going to read verses 9 through 14. Does anybody want to read? Okay. You want to read? Can you read loudly? Can you stand up and turn around? Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. All right, guys, listen up. So this passage, like I said, very similar to what we read last week. Last week, Paul intros the letter, and he's telling the Colossians essentially, like, hey, guys, you're doing a great job at these things. And we looked at those things as evidence of the gospel applied to our lives. So when Paul starts his letter, he's saying, hey, Colossians, you're doing great at having faith in Jesus, and you're doing great at loving one another, being known for your love, and you're doing great at applying the gospel to your life so that it's increasing and bearing fruit in your life. And we said that if we truly apply the gospel to our lives, those things will be true of us. All right? So then Paul builds on that, and he goes into a prayer, or at least he's telling the Colossians what he's been praying for them and how he's been praying for them, which are the same things he's writing them and saying, hey, good job doing. So one, there's power in prayer. Two, that's where we pick up the letter, is Paul's prayer about or for the Colossians. And so what I want you guys to realize is that a lot of this prayer is him asking God's continued blessing for what they're already doing, because they've already applied the gospel to their lives. But Paul uses language really quickly that comes around and makes it clear that it's not the Colossians' effort by themselves, right? Because the Colossians, believe it or not, even though they're in the Bible, are just as sinful and just as broken and just as dirty and unworthy of God's love as we are. And yet they're in the Bible and told that they're doing a great job. Because when you apply the gospel to your life, it's not about you, it's about God. That's part of being fully reliant on God. All right? So what we're going to see as we talk about this prayer of thanksgiving and encouragement for the Colossians is the fact that they have already applied the gospel, and because they've already applied the gospel, they're living like their lives depend on Jesus because they've realized that they do. But what the other thing that I want you guys to be aware of is, as Paul continues praying this, he makes it very clear how big of a thing this is. Like I said, the Colossians couldn't do it on their own. Neither can we. But Paul's using that to prove a point. It's not about us. It's about Christ. And when we think it's about us, when we start reading the Bible like it's like, hey, you need to work on X, Y, and Z behaviors if you want to truly be a good Christian. Okay? That's not grace. That's not the Bible. It's learning to be reliant on God. And as you're relying on God, those behaviors change because you want God. That's how that works. But when you read it that way, when you read it like it's about you and the things that you have to do and you need to do, it seems impossible. Right? I mean, look at the words that Paul uses in this passage. Like he writes and he says, walk in a manner, live in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work. Right? Increasing in the knowledge of God. Right? Bearing fruit in every good work. Bearing fruit. I have already like been short, not mean, but like, you know, you just give a short answer when you're annoyed. Been short with my wife today. Like, I've been frustrated with my children. Like, there's enough in my life that I have already this morning been reminded that I am not good enough. I cannot live in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. And it's kind of sad. It's kind of depressing. And I think that there's a beauty to Paul starting at this place. Because it's through this understanding and this thought that comes into our brain of like, we cannot live a life worthy and pleasing of God on our own, that we realize that we actually need God. I mean, just stop and think about that. If you, in your own life, on your own, are going to live in a way worthy of the Lord and fully pleasing to him, right? Fully pleasing to God. Think about who God is. Just in the things that we've talked about in the last 6-8 weeks since school started, or since we started our ministry year, right? The same God who made you, who left everything in heaven to come and live so that you have an example to follow, and not only that, but then died on a cross because you weren't good enough to even save yourself, right? That same God who, by simply speaking, brought you into existence, the same God who hung the stars in the sky just by uttering a word. This God who you're supposed to be living for, who says, hey, you should be living this way, and yet we can't live this way because we're broken and, quite frankly, kind of stupid when we're left to ourselves. Right? This same God says, hey, follow me, do this, live like this. And we constantly fail. We constantly fail. That's why Jesus had to come. This same God says, follow me in a way that is worthy of me. If you think about who God is, it doesn't take you long to realize we are not worthy of God on our own. And that's why Paul continually points us back to Jesus as we read the book of Colossians, right? Because they were sinful and broken. He wasn't saying, hey, Colossians, way to go, way to work hard and love each other. He's constantly pointing back to Christ. Hey, way to apply the gospel, way to follow Jesus, way to apply the gospel and love others as you've been called to. Way to apply the gospel and bear fruit. Way to apply the gospel and know God more, right? And so the Colossians are an example of church done differently, but they're an example of church done differently because they've applied the gospel. And because they've applied the gospel, we see them living a life that shows us what it looks like to be fully reliant on God like our lives depend on it. So look at verses 11 and 12 really quickly. It says, you may you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to God the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. So we can only live out the gospel, the thing that we're supposed to apply to our lives. We can only love our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We can only be known for our love. We can only impact the world around us when we live in a manner that is fully reliant on Jesus. Like our lives depend on it, because they do, right? This is only available. This is where we get to the application. So Paul is praying that God strengthens and gives them power and might and endurance and patience. That only comes from the Lord. If we're not reliant on God, we're not going to get the strength that comes from God. We might have our strength, and we might be able to do some things really well for a little bit of time, but then you burn out, you get tired, you get bored, you get weak, you get scared. All of these things come into play because it's been about you and what you can do instead of what God could do through you. Does that make sense? So when Paul prays that we would have the strength and patience and endurance that comes from God, he's recognizing that as we say, God, I trust you with everything, God will give you the strength to trust him with everything. And he will give you the patience to be known for your love, because it's hard to love broken, sinful people, even if they are Christians. And that's what God has called us to be known for our love, to make an impact in the world around us, to apply the gospel to our lives in a way that it changes everything, literally everything. Down to the way you brush your teeth and do your homework. Everything we do as human beings can be done for God's honor and glory. And the only way that happens is to live fully reliant on God, because your life literally depends on it. Does that make sense? Yeah? Does anybody have questions? So let me end with this. Think about it. Jesus, who delivers us from darkness into light, if it is him who is the source of our strength and patience and joy in the life that we are called to live, right? Wouldn't it be foolish to not rely on him? We kind of have an instruction manual about how life's supposed to go, and we often fail to use it. We have a God in heaven who's saying, hey, live this way. If you want true purpose and joy and contentment and hope in life, I have this plan for you. Follow it. Kind of idiotic when we don't, and then we're like, God, where are you? I don't understand why life's so hard, right? Well, that doesn't mean life's always going to be easy, but God has a plan for us, and when we follow it, when we walk in that plan, we discover a life so much better than anything we could imagine, and it all starts when we live life fully reliant on God, like our life depends on it, because it does, and it's in that reliance that we apply the gospel to our lives, and all of these other things start to happen. Cool? It's my hope and prayer that you all get to experience that. Let me pray for you, and then you guys can go home. God, thank you for your love. Thank you for equipping us and calling us. God, we thank you that not only have you created us for a purpose and a plan, but you've also created that plan to be for our joy and your glory. And God, not only that, but you've equipped us and given us the strength and promised to give us the strength and patience and hope and love that we need to live out that life. God, I pray as we go from this place that you would be revealing yourselves to us, that you would be meeting with us as we seek your face, and that we would live a life that is truly reliant on you. In Jesus' name, amen.